John chapter 15, last two verses. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because he hath been with me from the beginning. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended, scandalized. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to ask him that sent me. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me whether thou goest or goest thou. And because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. May the Lord's blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, quiet my heart. Help me to say nothing amiss. For you forgive me of sin, empty me of self, and please fill me with your spirit this very moment, few moments. I pray each of our hearts, as I already prayed earlier, that we would be open to the word finding lodging, whatever our spiritual condition is. Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts. There's something I believe for all of us, if we'll listen. Be with those teaching downstairs. May we honor you with our lives this day. May your word go forth in an honorable way today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The Spirit of Truth. You want to give a title to your message. It is the Spirit of Truth. You know, someone has said in the age of postmodern relativism. Now, relativism simply says there are no absolutes. And a day of postmodern relativism and ambiguity or double talk, nothing is more needed than the clear presentation to the unbelieving world of God's absolute truth centering on the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we need to hear. Absolute truth. Someone had said this. I looked at a couple of quotes on the truth. Adolf Huxley said, I wouldn't recommend reading a lot of, he said, but these, I like this. Facts do not cease to exist because they are ignored. Facts do not cease to exist because they are ignored. It was George Orwell who said, of all things, in a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And as time goes on in America, it may be an imprisoning act to tell the truth if things do not change direction there. I was reading in Jeremiah this week in my Bible reading. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 28. I'm afraid sometimes truth has perished and we don't hear the truth. I tell you, where truth is refreshing, just like you're mowing the yard and you get done and a cool glass of water, a nice large giant-sized Diet Mountain Dew, how refreshing that is to you when you're so thirsty, along with the easy chair after a shower. Now that is refreshing. We'll start the message, we'll finish it next Sunday, but first of all, we see his reminding ministry, his reproving ministry, his revealing ministry. Thank you, late Dr. John Phillips, for this basic outline. First of all, his reminding ministry, the Holy Spirit there is here to remind in 26 and 7 of 15, people about Christ. That is his purpose. He wants to glorify the Son. And so that's the Spirit's purpose in 14:26. It says, if you turn back for just a bit, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. That is found as fulfillment in the life of the disciples after Jesus leaves. In 15, the verses we just read, I believe is fulfilled in the book of Acts. Now, if you take just, and I was startled by this, but the book of Acts, we call it the book of Acts. And sometimes we think of that as a noun, but it can also be a verb, Acts. We think of Acts. What's the rest of the title? It's like the revelation. It's not revelations. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. When you put the whole title on there, wow, it opens right up for it. That's why we have the book of Revelation, to reveal the coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we have the Acts of the Apostles. It really is the Holy Spirit working through apostles. So we might say it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit, if you would, through the apostles. But that's the book of Acts. It is the transition we talked about Wednesday night from the four gospels to the church era. It is the bridge that bridges the gospels over to the church. The book of Acts. And so if you want to read it in that regard, everything in Acts is not going to happen in our church today, but it helped to draw the Jewish people from Judaism over to the church, the new covenant with Christ. Richard Johnny now notes under this, first of all, then the mystery of the Spirit in 26, the mystery of the Holy Spirit, but for why he came. But when the Comforter is come, even the Spirit of truth, he comes to bear witness of truth in a world of lies. The father of lies, by the way, we're no match for the father of lies. He is so much greater than we are, but I tell you, he's no match for the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we might see a picture of Satan and Jesus arm wrestling to see who's going to win. Bogus on that. That's baloney. Jesus is God, a very God. Satan is a creature. Jesus is God. Now, I imagine Satan gets a big kick out of that. You keep drawing those kind of pictures because that's going to give her, and that gives me a lot more than I even deserve. So, but he's no match for the Holy Spirit. And so the truth, I'm telling you, the truth is a refreshing thing. The truth, I like it when it says in 7, nevertheless, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Now, truth is not changed by your ability to stomach it. My wife has told me the truth sometimes, and I looked in the mirror, and I had my wife's glasses on this morning, not trying to be gross or anything, but I looked at the nose hair in here, and I could see, wow, there's a lot more in there than I thought. And so I had my wife, there's a stronger than mine. Wow, and I had the light on, because I have to shave my head on Sunday morning, see the back, and all these different things. Wow, so, ooh, it's like, I don't want to know that truth. But you know, it's there nonetheless. It's there. Why would he come? He's going to come because Jesus leaves. Why would he come? To be a comforter. Another, don't you like that? It says another comforter. We sometimes forget that Jesus is the God of all comfort. Jesus is going to comfort his disciples here. He's going to comfort, not even from the cross to John. Take, here's your mother. Basic, something like that. The thief. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus is all about these things. I tell you, if I even survived what Jesus went through, which I would not have, and I'm on the cross, I'm not saying, I don't have the energy to say anything. Every breath is laboring. And Jesus, 7 last words of Christ from the cross. You can read it. It's more than singular words, but 7 last phrases. Why would he come? Christ was a comforter, but we're going to have another one. And whence would he come in 26? When the comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father. Interestingly enough, in 14:26, like over in 14:26, but when the comforter is come, whom what? I will send unto you from the Father. In 15:26-27, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, he's going to send, and the Father is going to send, in 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, I got confused there because they both are 26, number 26, the Father will send, in 14, the Son will send, in 15, so both of them, the Spirit's coming with their, coming from both of them, if you would. It's really a picture of the deity of the Spirit of God, even this Jesus, a picture of his deity, that he's going to send the Spirit. In 325 AD, the Nicene Creed was first established, redone in 381. It says these words, the Holy Spirit who proceedeth from the Father and the Son. Now, I'm not signing on for everything the Nicene Creed says, but I like this phrase, the one who proceedeth from the Father and the Son. That is the Holy Spirit. The word he there in the Greek language, the he, the pronoun, is a masculine pronoun with the neuter noun. And so it's unusual to put a masculine, usually have a neuter pronoun, I guess, with a neuter noun. But here we have a masculine because he is a person. Now, in 1978, one of the most famous movies of all time came out. And people were applauding because it only had one cuss word in it. And we could take our kids to see Star Wars. And what if your children and grandchildren and now maybe great-grandchildren been taught ever since Star Wars has come out? May the Force be with you. And there's a what? There's the light side of the Force. Oh, but there's the Dark side of the force. Ooh, stay away. There is a dark side. It's called Satan and his emissaries. That's the dark side. But the Spirit, yes, he's powerful. He's omnipotent. But he's more than simply a force. He is a real person, if you would. He will come. Sad to say, the church actually split. The Greek church split from the Western church over this very issue. Because in 589, at the Council of Toledo in Spain, they said these words, the double procession of the Holy Ghost. Before it was just the Father. Oh no, we want the double procession from the Spirit, or from the Son and the Father. And so, it wasn't so much what they said. It's they approved it without the approval of everybody else. And so, mankind, have you ever noticed how sometimes men can get at odds with one another? We are experiencing in our country people who are at odds with one another. And they will do almost anything. There's a lot of blame on it. But we have to admit. And so the church is split because they just didn't do it the right way. Churches are split over carpet color. Over pews color. For the smallest of reasons. And so, but I like the way it says, proceedeth from the Father and the Son, because it's Bible. And that's our ultimate authority. Is the Bible. We can't supersede it with, and you'll hear some people say, well, God gave me a new revelation. Like, well, you're eating the wrong things or something, but you did not get a biblical revelation. Now you might. I had a revelation this morning. It was about the fact that we're having our air conditioner replaced tomorrow in the house, and I've got stuff down there where the furnace is that I don't want to get smoke all over, and so I got to get that out of the basement part where the furnace is, because when I take that, zoom, I can see the black smoke still all through the. So I got to move that. But that was not a biblical revelation. I was just, thank you, Lord, for that little reminder. I need to do that tomorrow, or before they get here in the morning. The Bible's complete. We have the 66 book canon. It's actually one book written by one author, God. 40 men together, God used. But it's God's book. It's interesting, by the way, you say it's not that, well, it is important, because I like this, what T.C. Hammond in the book called The 100 Texts said, were the procession from the Father only, the idea of separation or detachment or disunite or come apart would be more marked, an injury done to the completed doctrine of the Trinity. See, we have the Father, Son, and Spirit all working together, all God, all equal, and have different functions, but they are one God, three persons, one God. We are Trinitarian believing people. The Bible teaches it, but Pastor, I've looked, and I've got my thing, and by the way, I love apps, Bible apps, and I've looked the word Trinity in the Authorized or King James Version. It's not there, and it is not there. The principle. I'm a grandpa. We're grandpa's not. I know about dinosaurs. Dinosaurs not in here either. Now, there's a great lizard, and there's a leviathan, and there's a behemoth. But the word dinosaur is not invented or not until 1840. So, dinosaurs not in the Bible we're reading. But I tell you, they're real. I'm going on a limb here. I think dinosaurs could still be alive yet today, especially marine dinosaurs in the lower parts. That's my personal opinion. In the jungles of McGoffin County down there where I was raised, there might be some dinosaurs down there. I don't know. I can say things like that because I was raised in McGoffin County, and I really love the people of McGoffin County. We spent all my growing up years there. Anyway, shall we go forward? We shall. I'm not getting, Mr. Dr. Spencer, I'm not getting off on a spur this morning. I'm straight on down the road, sir. Because you can report back to Dr. Adams and tell me how it went. And I know we want to have a good report. 26, the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto the Father, from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father. Do you realize this morning, it can't be truth apart from Jesus, apart from God? What did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, the life. He is it. If it's contrary to God and His Word, it's falsehood. You see that? You see it? The Comforter is the word it means to come alongside, to keep us. The word from there is not the ordinary word ek, but it's a word that means to para, to come from the side of, which expresses position. The Spirit comes, the Father, Son, the Son's on earth, the Father's in heaven, the Spirit's up here, if you would. You want to think about it this way, and I know they're omnipresent. But He comes from the side of and comes going to be coming to us, for us. By the way, He indwells you. If you're a believer this morning, the Holy Spirit indwells you. By the way, you cannot be a believer without the Holy Spirit indwelling you. Bible, you know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, etc., if you're a child of His, you are indwelt by the Spirit. proceedeth there. And probably not so much from the annals of eternity past, but simply he proceeds on a mission. It's interesting also the word send. The Spirit voluntarily comes, I believe, to fulfill the ministry that he's to fulfill. So the reminding ministry, first of all, the mystery of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, is the motivation of the Holy Spirit. And his supreme ministry is to exalt the Son of God. In 26, the end, he shall testify of me. His work on earth is to remind people about Jesus, to men, to win men and women and boys and girls to Jesus. We have the OB for seniors machines. We've got the first one in hand just this week. And we got a paper lady from the paper just ready to come. And a video, I think, and take pictures, at least take pictures, and write a big article in the local paper about what the seniors are doing in our 5-county district. And she wants to promote the senior centers and get more people to come. And it's great. Much more important, the Holy Spirit comes to tell you through your heart's condition, Jesus is real. He's the one and only God. He's the one and only Savior. If you're going to heaven, you must go through Christ. Isn't it interesting how so many people talk about heaven apart from God? I tell you, if you're coming to 603 Heberlin Road, you need to talk to either Stephanie or I or the cats. Because we're the ones that live there. And we're the ones that say when the house is going to be open or closed. If you're coming, talk to either us. If you're going to heaven, you must talk to God. It's His house. He says who's coming and who's not. He says the roads are going to go. He's got the security, which on our door is but to heaven, I'm telling you, the security code is for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. If you're going to go to heaven, it's God's heaven. You must go through the Son. It's the only way. The supreme ministry is to exalt the Son. His supplementary ministry is to energize the saints in 27. And ye also shall bear witness because ye have been with me from the beginning. How the apostles did this is recorded partially in the book of Acts. Did it through the baptizing and filling of the Holy Spirit. And matter of fact, without the Spirit, they could do naught. With the Spirit, they turned the world upside down. I'm telling you, I've seen it. When the Holy Spirit actually comes in and a person gets genuinely saved, they are different. They are. All things are new. Those things you used to love, you hate. Those things you now love, those things you used to love, not, and vice versa. You hate the things you used to love. You enjoy reading God's Word. You enjoy learning. What does God have for me today? I was thinking, as I was doing my exercise with everybody, every 7 miles every day, I'm looking forward to the time the shower's done. I got my yogurt and my granola. I'm sitting in the chair and reading God's Word. My favorite time of the day. Get my mind focused. That's it. Looking forward to, if you know the Savior, you're going to want the things the Savior has. The Spirit is so much a part of our lives. It's no wonder the men turned the world upside down because they had the Spirit. I wonder, have you changed? You truly know Christ as Savior. If you do, the Spirit indwells you and you're different. So that's the reminding ministry. Secondly, is the reproving ministry. And we'll just start this part. And first of all, we see the appalling dislike of the synagogue. And we're going to use the synagogue as a group of people, not necessarily a building. The appalling dislike of the synagogue in chapter 16, verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. The synagogue was the local center for the Jewish people. If you had in a community 10 men, you could have a synagogue. And they would come and they'd meet together and they would read scripture, and then someone would likely repeat what some rabbi has said about that scripture, and they would go and they would, that's their worship service, etc. John really pretty much ignores the synagogue in his gospel. By that time, there was a lot of enmity between the synagogue, the Jews, and the Christians. One man said, followers of Christ faced intense persecution. They were ridiculed. They were denounced. They were hunted. They were arrested. They were beaten. They were imprisoned. And some even were torn by lions. All these different, the crucified, etc. Matter of fact, if you did a brief survey of Christian tradition, you'd find that Peter, Andrew, and James were all crucified. Bartholomew was whipped to death and then crucified. James, the son of Zebedee, was beheaded. Thomas was stabbed with spears. Mark was dragged to death through the streets of Alexandria. James, the half-brother of Jesus, was stoned by order of the Sanhedrin. Philip was stoned to death. Matthew, Simon the Zealot, Thaddeus, Timothy, and Stephen were all killed for their unwavering commitment to Christ. Clement of Alexandria, about 100 A.D., he passed. He said these words, "Through envy and jealousy, the greatest and most righteous pillars of the church have been persecuted and put to death." And I'm thinking as I'm preparing, I should know the answer, why? Why? You can convert to any other religion in America with no problems. But someone converts to Christianity. Whoa! Now, I know there are some Muslim countries you can't convert to anything but Islam, etc. But here in America, but when you say you are a Christian, it's immediately like the hackles go up. Oh, we just don't agree with that. Why is there so much persecution? I'm telling you, Christians have done more social good than any other people across history. Why? Can you tell me why? Thank you. Satan. Satan hates God's people. Satan hates God. He hates the Jews. Do you ever wonder why Islam is such a thriving group? Satan's behind it. I'm not trying to boohoo. I'm not trying to cast. I'm just telling you, there's only one true. It's Christ. He's the only way. Only way. So it's Satan. So he urged the disciples then not to be stumbled by the hostility in verse 1. Stumbled there is offended. The word scandalizo, etc., to scandalize, to cause to stumble. Don't be stumbling when they cast you out of the synagogues. Don't give up your faith. When they do these things, don't give up. Keep trusting the Lord. It's going to happen. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. As you well know, remember the story of the blind man in John 9? They were so afraid of being cast out of the synagogue. Matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 42, many did not confess him because of being put out of the synagogue. We're afraid. Well, now, by the way, that was a very important thing. It was like, you are anathema to your family if you get put out of the synagogue. It is a very big deal. It is like in India. When you are baptized, lots of times you will be ostracized by your family because they're all Hindu and you're a Christian. Or the Jewish faith, if you leave the Jewish faith as the Orthodox Jew, become a Christian, you are done with us. If you are an Amish and you decide that you want to become English, we are going to shun you the rest of your life. That's the idea. So when you get put out of the synagogue, it wasn't simply, well, I'm going to First Baptist of Greenup, Pastor Tim, because their church is bigger than yours anyway, and I like their building better, and they've got a real gymnast, so I'm going down there. So here I go. Woohoo! It's not like that. It was much more important to the people. So the cast out of the synagogue was life-changing for them. But there's going to become a time when killing Christians is going to be considered a service to God, a meritorious act. I tell you, we're on the cusp of that. Because we in our own country have this view that we are the radical believers who do not agree with the agenda of many in our day. And we need to be silenced. We don't need to stand. We need to stand up for what is right by God's grace and love, sharing what God has said in His Word. And by the way, we are on the right side of history because history says what we believe is what people believe until the last 3 minutes, until the last couple years, a couple decades. Not trying to get on that. I'm going back, Mr. Spencer, back to the main line. We fight. It's going to happen. This undying hatred, it seems, of Christians and the Jews. Matter of fact, even in the Protestant Reformation. We find it came along. It's interesting. I've got one quick quote from a liturgical service. The word service there in the end of verse 2 refers to a religious service. A later Jewish text says this: if a man sheds the blood of the wicked, it is though he had offered a sacrifice. Well, if you blow up yourself and kill about 1,000 infidels, when you blow yourself up, Islamic person, you might, if a Muhammad thinks you're happy that day, you might get into the eternal paradise thing that they're hoping for. That's the idea. Can I just say, the Bible nor God ever sanctioned a Christian taking the life of someone else simply because they won't become a Christian? Never, ever. whatever church you've been in the past, the Roman church, according to a Protestant theologian and historian, said the Roman church killed 50 million heretics between AD 606 and the mid-1800s. Martin Luther said, if the art of convincing heretics by fire were the right one, then the executioners would be the most learned doctors on earth. John Huss said, what I taught with my lips, I now seal with my blood. Why? Why are we killing people because they believe in baptism by immersion and wouldn't succumb to the pagan baptism of some reformers? That would be the Anabaptists, by the way, were drowned because they believed in believers' baptism. Why? Why can't we agree to disagree agreeably and not be going out killing someone because you don't agree exactly like I have believe? By the way, there are 40 people in here right now. I can guarantee you, no two of us would agree on every single thing. My wife and I agree on a lot. We share brains sometimes. But there's some significant differences. I take a shower, she gets a shower. I like Diet Mountain Dew, she likes Diet Dr. Pepper. That's maybe all further it goes, but anyway, she's a woman, I'm a man. Okay, we got three differences. Okay, there we go. She looks beautiful today. I am struggling to just even make it here. So there we are, four differences. Don't be startled by the hatred. It was 1997. In the New York Times, they said these words, more Christians have died this century simply for being Christians than in the first 19 centuries after the birth of Christ. 2009, a brief story of Maryam Hussein in Somalia. The day before she was shot, the wife of Sheikh Arbo sent his wife to visit Hussein's home, and this wife pretended that she was interested in learning about Christianity. 2009, Somalia. During the visit, Hussein, the Christian lady, read passages of the Bible with Arbo's wife and told her that she could visit regularly to discuss God's Word. Arbo, by the way, he was a Muslim. Arbo's wife then confirmed to her husband the presence of Bibles in the home. He requested a Bible for her, and so Hussein, and when she went to the house and said to this Christian lady, can I have a Bible? Yes, and so she gave him a Bible. And there were other Muslim men with him. And she said, I want to see all the Bibles in your house. And she brought all the Bibles. Is this all the Bibles you have in your house? Yes, he shot her three times instantly. Simply because she was doing harm to the Islamic faith. I'm thinking, if that's doing harm to your Islamic faith, your God's not very big. If your God's big enough, then it's like Gideon. Gideon's father said, listen, if Baal's not strong enough to help himself, then he's not a very big God. Since Gideon tore his stuff down, etc. I just read this morning, Voice of the Martyrs. Churches are closed in China. Churches are demolished. House churches are raided. Pastors are handcuffed mid-service. Christians are interrogated, arrested, imprisoned. Today in China. By the way, India is going to have more people in China after this year is over than China has. India will have a larger population than China. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. I know what time it is, so we're going to put it in the same year we're in instead of speeding up. The Lord warned his disciples, secondly, they should not be startled by these things. Don't be stumbled. Don't be startled. But these things have I told you that when the time shall come, you may remember that I've told you, don't give up the ship. Don't throw in the towel. I'm telling you now, hard times are coming. Don't be startled by the hatred of this world. The approaching departure, and it's not only the appalling dislike of the synagogue, but the approaching departure of the Savior and his concealments of these things in the past in verse 4 at the end. And these things I said not unto you in the beginning because I was with you. It's interesting. You don't tell all the things that are going to have to go through at the beginning because I'm here, but I'm telling you now, I'm getting ready to leave and there's going to be some hard times coming, so I'm telling you now. It's like, had you told the Israelites when they left Egypt that they're going to have to fight the Anakims? We're not going to go. But then they go. They see all these things happen. They see the 10 plagues. They see the fact that they went through the Red Sea. The fact to see that the walls of Jericho fell down. They see God's supplies. They see the manna. Oh, you know what? I think with God's help, we can do this. At least Joshua and Caleb thought so. The giants of Canaan should have been pygmies to them, spiritually speaking, by now. He had postponed the sterner realities of things. So not only his past concealment, his presence, candor, truthfulness about these things in verse 5. But now I go my way to him that sent me,
And none of you asketh me whither I goest. But now, they've asked questions, yes. They've asked questions because they were sorrowful. What's going to happen to me, Jesus, when you leave? What's going to happen to us here on earth? I'm sure they weren't whining like that. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to whine. But that's the questions Thomas and Peter asking. What's going to happen to us when you leave? They should have been asking, aren't you going to be so glad to get home to be with the Father? Oh, I thank you, Lord, for spending 33 and a half years here with us. I know it was such a sacrifice. The cross was terrible, and your cross is going to be terrible. And it may come a time when you're separated from the Father because of my sin. I'm so glad you're going back. So glad my mom, and I'm trying to be, my mom finally went home to be with Dad. Oh, what rejoicing there was. I miss her. I miss my dad. Who do I, in case you're wondering why I ask you questions about things, my dad, I can't go. My dad knew everything. And you knew my dad, I believe, Brother Spencer. You know my uncle very well, Larry. I can't ask him. So if I ask you a question, just humor me and give me an answer. And I appreciate that. But just so look forward to that, to be with him forever. But they didn't say, Jesus, we're so glad you're going back. They didn't say that. Verse 16, because I've said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. If they hadn't been so selfish, they stop throwing stones. When is it we as Christians are going to quit throwing stones at fellow other Christians? If you don't tie your shoes exactly, if you don't sing the exact songs I think of Brother Hamilton, no larger footprint in my thinking in our conservative churches than he has had, and yet he's had people who've been so against him, and you've done this, you've done that. Listen, when you get to heaven, I'm going to see who's closer to God than see if you're closer to God than he is. I'm just asking, see how many people have been led to the Lord by the Pastor Pirate program, by how many Christians have been encouraged, God did not move, William tried, and the song we sang earlier on, a massacring of the words, he makes no mistake. How many people have been encouraged by that? Let me see his crowns compared to yours. So let's be careful before we start throwing stones, especially at our church and our church people, to one another. He appointed the sin of the Spirit. Very last thing. It was expedient. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you that it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. It's profitable. I can think of it's profitable that I go away. Why? Can you imagine now? Jesus says to Peter, you know, Peter, I like it down here. I think I'm going to set up my kingdom here now. I'm just going to stay here for a long time. So I want you, Peter, get your day timer out. And everybody gets 15 minutes. One person, 15 minutes their entire life. She start making a record here. And they can, and I'll answer all their requests, do all the things they want me to do. But they only get 15 minutes their entire life. Because I'm going to set up my camp right here. I'm going to stay in Jerusalem. Perhaps I'll go over to greet it for a little while and have some other things. But I'm coming back here. And Peter, can you imagine you talk to Jesus only 15 minutes of your entire life? Or I go, the Spirit comes, and you can talk to me all the time. 24/7. Before the cell phone in 2000. Oh, hasn't that changed our lives, 2007? Before the cell phone, you can talk to me. You can come boldly into the throne of grace one day, and you can talk to me any time that you want. Do you see why he goes and why the Spirit comes? So that you and I can have a daily, and he walks with me and he talks with me. And we can have that every day now. While he makes intercession for us, having assumed a body like ours to pay the price for me. I'm telling you, I wouldn't trade 15 minutes right now in person, one time in my life, for the Spirit indwelling me. And I say, Jesus, thank you today for saving my soul. Do you know him? If you don't know him, admit that you are a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Believe. Do you believe that the Bible is true? Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Believe. He died on the cross for you. And see is confess. Confess that you're a sinner and call. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that is the gospel. Would you come? Let's pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.
Lord, I thank you so much for coming. And then, Lord, Holy Spirit, I thank you for coming into my heart and life when I received Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. And Lord, I confess, Holy Spirit, I have grieved you so many times in my life. It's so disheartening sometimes to think how I've failed so much. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, I am your child, but that fellowship wanes if I regard iniquity in my heart. The Lord will not hear me. So, Lord, if we're a child of God and we've allowed iniquity, we may confess that. And if we're here this morning and we just don't have that relationship, we've never received Christ as personal Savior, we never confessed our sins, believing you died on the cross for us, and never received you, may today be the day of salvation. Lord, give us strength to respond. Work in our hearts, please, during the invitation time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.